start Yedei LeTorah Mansha Chof Hei Teves Chof Shin Pei Beis Reb Shmuel Kaufman Reb Shmuel Schwartz.
Right, good morning everyone. Pasuk begins this week's Sedra. Pashvayiro. The Benishim says, "V'gamani shomati es nakas bnei Yisrael Hashem Mitzrayim avidem oisom v'esker es brisi." The Benishim says, "I've heard the cry of Klal Yisrael that Mitzrayim are being meshabed them or making them, you know, giving them the golos v'esker es brisi, and I remember my bris to save them." So then the next pasuk says the following. L'chein emor l'vnei Yisrael. So the message which the Rebbeinu Shlom tells Moshe Rabbeinu is L'chein emor l'vnei Yisrael. Tell the Bnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Voitzeisi eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. And here we have the four l'shoinus ha-geula. Voitzeisi v'itzalti v'go'alti eschem v'lokachti eschem. But the hakdoma to those four l'shoinus of geula is Leich Emor Lochein Emor Levnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. So the question which the Forshim try to understand is, what's the statement Lochein Emor Levnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, I am Hashem? If you say Emor Levnei Yisrael Votzeitzi Eschem Vetzalti Eschem Vegaalti Eschem Velekachti Eschem, what's the Loshen Ani Hashem, I am Hashem? What lies in these words, Ani Hashem, as a hakdama, as an introduction to the four lashonos of Geula? So Nesiv Shalom, the Solomer, answers a very, very beautiful, in my humble opinion, doesn't need my askama, a very beautiful idea. There's a famous medrash. The medrash says, at the beginning of Avraham Avinu's introduction, so to speak, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Medrash tells us that Avraham Avinu looked around the world, and Avraham Avinu saw what's called, the Medrash calls a Bira Dolekes. He saw a palace that was lit up. And the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu was looking for the boss, where's the owner of this Bira? And then Heitis Alav Bala Bira, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm the one who's in charge of this palace. And the idea is, Avraham Avinu saw the world as a Bira Dolekes, he saw a perfect world. And he saw there's a light, a lit up palace, a lit up world, with all its beauty and whatever we see in the beautiful world that we exist in. And he said, who's in charge? And the Rebbeinu Shlom appeared to him and said, I am the Baal HaBira. You see, Shalom has a different look on this completely. That's maybe how we're used to hearing the Medrash. But he says the following. Avraham Avinu arrived into the world, and he looked around the world, and he saw very strange things. He saw there'd been a Dora Mabel, a Dora Flogger, many, many wicked people. The Dora Mabel been destroyed, Dora Flogger. And he looked around the world that existed, and he was very taken by the fact that they existed within this world of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So much ra, so much bad, so many wicked people. If it's so clear that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists, how is it indeed possible there's so many koyfrim? And what he looked around to see was, he saw a Bira Dolekes, means a house on fire. The house is burning. The world's burning. The world's on fire. And it panicked him. It panicked him. He was concerned. I see a world on fire. And the Rebbeinu Shlom appeared to him at that point, says, Heitzitz alav balabir, and said, I'm the balabir. And the statement which the Rebbeinu Shlom was making to Avraham Avinu is, I'm the balabir. It might look like there's a house on fire, but I know exactly what's going on. Every single part of this seemingly out of control situation is 100% under control, planned, has to be, wants to be, needs to be. And that's what he means, Heitzel Balabira. Avraham Avinu appeared in a world that seemed to be out of control. Those who believed, those who didn't believe. The whole thing's one big mess. And the Rebbeinu Shlom said to him, I'm the Balabira, it's all under control. I know exactly what's going on. Says in the Nesiv HaSholem, Moshe Rabbeinu, in last week's Sedra, made his first attempt to come and talk to Paro. And if ever there was a failed mission, it seemed to be this one. He went to talk to Paro, and instead of things getting better, things got worse. And he comes to the Rebbeinu Shlom and says, Lomar Yosel Amazeh, you've messed, the whole thing's messed up. The whole thing's out of control. Rebbeinu Shlom, what's going on? The whole thing's gone awry. What should we do? And the first thing the Rebbeinu Shlom says to him, L'chein Lamal Neisra, Ani Hashem, means I am Hashem. That's a hate tzitz olov balabira, or aleim balabira. It says, Ani Hashem, everything's under control. There's a reason for every single stage of this process. Nothing to panic about. It's all been calculated. Calculated to the teeniest, teeniest detail. Calculated that although it looked like it was going to get better, it got worse. Ani Hashem means, it looks like there's a bira doilekes. It looks like there's a house on fire. It looks like there's an explosion. But it's a controlled explosion. Ani Hashem means every single detail is under control. And this of course applies across all the years of Golus. One looks around, and it seems to be that everything's just out of control. For reasons we can't understand, such strange things happening, so many difficult times, so many challenges, so many tragedies, whatever it might be. And you look around to the Rebbeinu Shlom and say, Rebbeinu Shlom, do you really, you know, is this under control? And the emunah we have to have is, Leich HaMoy Levnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem means, hates it along Balabira and says, everything here is under control. It's a controlled explosion, but every single part of this is with a cheshbon, and it makes sense. We don't understand why, but it absolutely makes sense. I heard once a beautiful taich. We said this morning, Eishu voro shere v'kitoir, ruach sa'ora oysa devori. The whole creation listens to the Rebbeinu Shlinam. Ruach sa'ora means a wind. Like a whirlwind, or a wind that blows. It's oysa devori, which means, you walk on a winter morning down the road, and the piece of paper that was on one side of the road now is blown by the wind to the other side of the road. Ruach Sa'ara Oysa Devora means every single teeny part of whatever goes on in this world, which even to us seems irrelevant, it's Oysa Devora. Hashem Kaviyachol told this wind, take the three pieces of rubbish on this side of the road and blow them to the other side of the road. Ruach Sa'ara Oysa Devora. Every wind in every single direction is being propelled by the Rebbeinu Shlalom. You know, there's a famous machlokes. Well, let's just go with it, not go into it. The Chazanish writes that bitochen means whatever the Rebbeinu Shlalom does is for the best. Not necessarily it's going to be what we want it to be. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shlalom does is for the best. And it always bothered me, so where's the Menuchas HaNefesh? Where's the Shalvas HaNefesh? Where's the peace supposed to come from with a person just knowing it's all under control? If it's not a guarantee that it will be better the way we want it to be, where's the Menuchas HaNefesh that comes from Bitochen? And the Chori, this is the answer. When a person knows everything's under control, everything's b'cheshbon, there's a peace that comes upon the person immediately. Let me give you a tremendous moshul which I once heard from Rav Shai Schlesinger Shlita. He said, if you walk down the main road in London, excuse me for not having filled in on the details, but Selfridges or Harrods, I don't know, one of them, is a complete glass. It's a glass front. The entire shop of sort of the top league, sort of, stores or palm stores, the whole front is entirely glass panes, the whole thing. And he said someone was walking down the road, and suddenly there's a smash, shattering of glass. Someone threw a stone, shattered one of the panes. And he says the whole tumult, people running, coming, one of the expensive glasses of Selfridges has been smashed. Hey, what's going to be? Everyone's running and tumult, of the police are coming and this. Hey, it's all happening. So 3 months later, a fellow walks down the main road past the same shop. And then there's a professional, what's called a glazier, is there changing one of the panels. He's changing one of the panels. And everyone's just walking past one by a time. Shh, not a word. No panic. I don't understand. It's the same pain. Or exactly the same pain, a little bit further up, which is being changed. Why is there panic? The pain's been taken out. It's being broken to be removed. Why is there no panic? And the answer is, when the glazier is doing it, it's under control. When everything's under control, there's no panic. It's all calculated. It's all under control. Somebody who knows what he's doing is taking care of it. Panic ensues when there's a smash of a glass, when a stone goes through a window and it shatters and it's out of control. That's where panic kicks in. When it's all under control, there's no reason for panic. Lechem olav ne'isol ani Hashem, it's all under control. Nothing's happened here which I'm not aware of or haven't planned, or it's not indeed the best that should happen. There's a fellow called Meir Banai, who was, I think, about Shuva, he was a comedian. He took ill with cancer at 45, and he was Nifta at 55 years old. Not that long ago. And he told the following, he says, how does a person best describe what B'tochen is in the Ribbono Shel Olam? And he said the following. He says, when you go to the dentist, maybe we don't realize how silly we are, not for going to the dentist, or going onto the dentist's chair. What happens? You lie down on the chair, you take your glasses off, and I can't see without my glasses. You take your glasses off, and Nochem Shugana, he opens his mouth. So you're putting yourself completely at the extreme of vulnerability. You can't see anything. You've opened your mouth, that someone could do whatever they want to you. An abster, you're completely out of control. Never take your glasses off. You can't see without your glasses. What happens when a person goes into the dentist chair? He knows it's going to hurt. There's a filling. There's a root canal. Whatever it's going to be. And it's going to hurt. So why are you doing it? Nabister, what are you doing it for? Look, you're opening your mouth. Because you know. Hopefully you've done your homework. And you've not got a trainee dentist. You've got a dentist that you trust, who's been in the job for a while. And you know, he knows what's best for me. So therefore I must relax. I must be willing to open my mouth, even if it's going to hurt. Leichem Moir, Divnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, means the Rebbe Yishim is saying, please trust me. Everything's under control. Everything's planned. Relax. Does it make it easier? Definitely somewhat. I want to share with you a story to understand a little bit what it means. Everything indeed is under control. And like when we look around the world that we exist in today, we look around our town, Manchester, when it's been such difficult circumstances and situations. And yes, we know we mechazik in our emunah that Ani Hashem, but maybe just a little bit of a tifkai of understanding, a dogma of those times when the Bereshim shows how indeed the reasons why he does what he does. There's a fellow in Eretz Yisrael, lives in Netanya, an elderly person, by the name of Yosef Harel. Yosef Harel lives in Netanya, and he's the head of the Masach Nasa, he's the head of the tax people there. And he tells the following story. He, together with his 7 siblings, survived the war. Now, I think Rebbe Esrim is still alive today. So just imagine how young he was at the time of the war. But he and his 7 siblings survived the war. And he says part of them live in America and part of them came to Eretz Yisrael. 7 siblings. The oldest one at the time of the breakout of the war was just over Bar Mitzvah. 7 little children, if you like, survived the war together. He said, what's the story? So he said the following. His parents lived in a town, a little shtetl somewhere in Poland. And he said his parents were tremendous people, tremendous Bali Chesed. And in their little town, there was nothing that took place that wasn't under with the input of this special couple, his parents. There came a time when the parents had to travel to a chasana, which they'd helped prepare for a wedding of an orphan, 2 orphans. So they took their sort of wagon, where it was their sort of thing, they loaded up the wagon with all the sort of alshtoi, whatever they could get to help these young orphan. And they told their children, listen, we're traveling, it's a long journey away. They had to travel to a shtetl in a fair distance away. We'll travel today and we'll be back tomorrow. And they left. The parents with the 7 children left at home. The kids came the next day and there's no sign of the parents. The day after, there's no sign of the parents. There wasn't mobile phones or anything. No one knows what happened to the parents. Eventually, a mishlachat from the community, from the town, went to sort of go along the way where the parents had gone. And the maisers are garnished. There's nothing. They can't see anything. Young family on their own. And no one knows where the parents are. Weeks turns into months. And the Kehillah, these were a tremendous family, it was a wonderful family. They tried to do whatever they could to support this young family, incredibly on their own. 6 months later, seems the police busted some sort of gang, highwaymen group, whatever it was. And in the interrogations it came out, they owned up to having killed a couple 6 months beforehand. And not only that, they owned up to the fact that they'd buried this couple on the spot there, deep in the forest. Police went to check it out. Indeed, there was 2 graves there, deep in some sort of very sort of secluded area within the forest. So now Nebuch, they go and tell the family that this is the circumstances. Take the whole family there, all 7 children, and they're crying by the gravesite, Chmal Nitzlan. Terrible clap for the whole Kehillah. And the biggest question of all, you know, Shluchei Mitzvah Einin Ezoikin, how can it be? Shluchei Mitzvah Einin Ezoikin, they were mamush going to have chasna. What happened was they came along with a big wagon full of schera, and the banditin saw there's so much schera to chap onto, that's why they killed him, yeah? So Shluchei Mitzvah Einin Ezoikin, what's going on? Shumu Shamayim, biggest question. The Kehillah got together, they paid for a matzeva. And the killer took on their responsibility to take care of this mishpacha. And every year, this was a few years before the outbreak of the war, every year these 7 kinderlach, the oldest one then wasn't yet bar mitzvah, used to schlep deep into the forest, to the place where their parents were buried, oyser beitan, you know, to cry to the Ribbono Shleim, yeah? Nebuch, terrible tragedy. 2 years later, they made it twice to the grave of their parents. The third year, the ground was burning beneath. the entire Poland, but definitely the shmuos were coming through that something very bad is happening. It's only a matter of time. But they were determined on the day of the Yuletide of their parents to travel inside deep to the secluded area within the forest. And they went. And when they came back, they heard shouting. Rachman al-Islam, the Rishomi, Machshimon, the Zichron, had rounded up the Yidden into the Beis HaKnesses, into the shul, and the Beis HaKnesses was burning. And as they came towards the town, they heard it, realized it's not for them to come, they turned around and they ran. And they ran back into the forest. Miraculously, those non-Jewish people, Goyim, who took care of these 7 children, through the entire war. On the end of the Muhammad, 7 young children survived, an entire family, unheard of, young children. 1.5 million kinderlech were killed, Rahman al-Islam. Most vulnerable, most unable to take care of themselves. An entire mishpacha survived the war. 7 siblings. So he says, Rabbi Yosef Arel says, this Yosef Arel says, let me ask you a question. He says, if we'd have asked the parents of this entire mishpacha, you've got a choice. Either you can come back healthy and well, but the chances are your entire mishpacha will be destroyed, taken away. Or, Kaviyachal, the Rebbe Shem says to them, we can take you away, but your entire family will survive forever with generations and generations. The Netzach, Kilu, what would you want? What would you want? A human being wouldn't have the koyach to be able to make the correct decision. The Madaik, I heard the pshat, Yosef couldn't do anymore. He couldn't hold back anymore because it would be dangerous. The Rebbe Shem Kamim is apik, from Rebbe Shem. He's beyond humanity, beyond a human being, to be able to take very difficult, painful decisions, which are the better and the correct, and the kindest and the best of decisions. Suddenly the question's answered. Shomu Shomayim. How can it be? Shluchi mitzvah, einen nizoikin. Yeah. Shluchi mitzvah, einen nizoikin. The Rebbe Shem did the greatest act of chesed that we, beyond the whole ability of a human being to be able to carry out, to be able to understand, to be able to do. That's like sometimes we have a little look in to why some such of the terrible circumstances take place. We could never understand. Sometimes the Rebbe Shem opens a little window to show why Ani Hashem, why everything's calculated, why everything happens exactly like it's supposed to happen, because that's the way I want it to be. Relia Lapjani used to say, I think in the Mir, in the Alta Mir, there's a story, there's a bridge there and a wagon, like a taxi, had like 8 people in it, Nebuchadnezzar, I think, fell off the side of a bridge and they were killed. And Rabbi Yeruchim spoke at the time, and he said, it's not pshat that a taxi fell over and 8 people were killed. And said, the way we have to believe, and our emuna goes, adasof, that the Rebbe Shlom put 8 people into a taxi, because that taxi had to go over the side. Every single part, how difficult it is for us to be able to be sober, to understand it, to appreciate it. Everything's bashka chosoi, everything's with the cheshbon. And shluchi mitzvah in his oikin. You know, the Racham HaKodesh writes, when Yaakov sent Yosef to go, to see his brothers, it says he told him to go, and then tell me, get back to me. A Shiveni Dovah, tell me what's going on. Why did Yaakov tell him that? Because Shluchim Mitzvahin and Nizoykin. He knew that his son's going somewhere with a dangerous area. So he made the Echelik of his Shlichus to come back to me. Tell me what's going on. So why Taka then? Shluchim Mitzvahin and Nizoykin, what's going on? So he gives 2 terutzim. 1 terutz is a technical answer. He said he sent him to Shechem, and he went to Doisim. But the other terutz of Chaim says is that you make your mistake. Eidoi nezek. It was not a nezek. That means if you look at the story, go down later on. Yosef says, Ani Yosef. Asher machartem Moisim Mitzrayim means, I am what I am. I became what I became. Ki lemichya shalachani aleichem lebrishim sent me ahead to prepare for Klal Yisrael, and Yosef became Yosef HaTzadik because he was sold by his brothers in the most unfortunate and terrible circumstances. And he became the person that he was, the Kodesh. The Yosef HaTzadik, only because of the experiences that he had. So the Racham HaKodesh is not a Nezek. Nezek's perceived as how we see it. You know, I remember seeing this Rabbi Tzion Klaska, I think his name is, from the Shmuz, he writes there that there was a professor in a university somewhere in America. And he writes it there, so I can always say it's true as he says it. They did a survey. How would you mark the Ribbono Shel Olam on his performance in running the world? You know, look at all the good things, look at all the bad things. How would you mark the Ribbono Shel Olam? And jokes aside, they gave him a B. Because if you look at all the good things that happened, all the bad things that happened, so if you put it all together, marking each other, they gave the Ribbono Shel Olam a B in running the world. That's how well he's done. And that's because the person is contorted, the person sees it, how our perception, what we perceive, seems to be good, seems to be bad. But the Emes La'amito is, as Maminim we know, Ani Hashem means everything's calculated, everything's toiv, there's only toiv. And as difficult as we understand why it's toiv, that's where the Avodas HaBitochen comes in. And if a person's able to accept that and to internalize that, his life takes on a different hargosha. As hargosha of peace, hargosha of menuch sanefesh, shalva sanefesh. He can go onto a dentist's chair and open his mouth and say, I trust the dentist, he knows what he's doing. He's done it enough years to know what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. Will it hurt? Of course it's going to hurt. We're talking about big madrigas. But if this would be something that in a little bit, you know, Avraham Avinu struggled with this. He said, the bira is the lekes, the world's gone mad. How many times a day do we say, the world's gone mad, the world's gone crazy. What's going to be? What's coming next? Avraham Avinu said that. He saw bira de lekes, saw a house on fire. It's out of control. And Heitzo Balabira was the Mishnah Ani Hashem. In Mitzrayim, it's getting worse. We tried to make an attempt to help Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes back and says, Lamayru Yisrael Lamazeh, what's going on? We're crying out loud. Ani Hashem means everything has a cheshbon. Every single part of the Hashkocha is there to be mative. There'll come a time when we'll understand everything. Eshiva Sino, Yinu Kecholmim, the Siv Shalom said, Taich will be like dreamers. Which dreamer? Who's the dreamer? The dreamer was Yosef HaTzadik. And then Yosef saw why everything was the toy. All the terrible situations, brothers sold him, his father, everything. At the end, though, he saw Altsas Gevein Latoy. A Shiva Tzion will all be like the Chomi, will all be like dreamers. We'll look back and say, ah, Yetz Fashteich, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Until then, our Avodah is Avodah of Emunah, Avodah of Bitochen, Avodah to have a peace and understanding. Ani Hashem, thank you for listening.